This is a Harper Guys production.
The Harper contains foul language and adult material. If you are easily offended and thin-skinned, you should hit the stop button now. And if you are not a complete idiot, let's get this party started.
Let's get down to brass tacks, gentlemen. If I was informed correctly, the clock is ticking. Is that right, Jimmy?
You know, but good luck arguing that in court. Let me get down to brass tacks.
Listen, let's get down to brass tacks here. How much for the ape?
Jack, let's just cut the crap and get down to brass tacks here.
Are you hating on Neil Diamond?
Holy fuck, fuck Neil Diamond.
Our dream of deathmatch is going to come to fruition, and my golden ticket is going to pay off.
Hoo-ah!
Don't you fucking hoo-ah me, motherfucker.
I want the ability to time travel.
Dumb. Stupid.
Welcome to the Hopper, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jake. With me, as always, my sidekick, Adam.
That's right.
Welcome to show number 78 coming at you tonight.
78!
That's right. Going to get off started, like always, with a little PSA revamp from Adam.
That's right. Revamped PSA. Episode 78, as we already said. Visit us at theharperguys.com. There, you can follow and share. You can also visit us everywhere podcasts are found. Go to our YouTube channels, or YouTube channel right now, and subscribe. If you are having a hard time finding the YouTube channel, search The Harper Guys. We'll be in the list, not too far down. Also, the 50th subscriber gets a free red brass tacks t-shirt. So, be that person. Why not?
They're legit.
Also, check out our Patreon website and find our missing episodes, because they're starting to pile up.
They are.
If you've looked through the episode list, you're going to see some vacant spots.
Yeah.
The numbers don't add up.
Right.
So get to the Patreon, sign up, become a member immediately, and you will have all those missing episodes.
Yeah. There's some gold in them hills, buddy.
Yeah. And you might want to hurry, because from what our management is telling us, those are going to start to drop off.
Oh, yeah.
So there might not be a collection of 15 or 20 in there in a few months. There might only be a couple.
So they might not be there forever. So each
management's telling us that we can't leave them in there. So,
well,
I mean, I know we're the bosses, but
yeah, we get four or five in there at a time, and then apparently we're going to run out of room.
Yeah, we don't want to get our peepees whacked.
No.
They're angry.
Can't be having that.
Oh, and we have a new addition tonight.
Yes.
Jake's birthday is, what, 2 days from now?
Yeah, and Adam's was last week, just for the record.
That's okay. Don't worry about that one.
Come on now.
I did a little crafty craft. I don't know if you can tell. I'm sure you can. It's a little bit more vibrant than our former Old Glory, which, rest in peace, it's still going to be used.
Yes.
And we're going to find a good home.
Use.
Yes.
We've got a good home all lined up for her. She will fly again.
But this is formerly my dinner table. And as soon as we upgraded, the thought popped in my head, you know what? I'm going to paint the flag on this.
Yep.
And I don't know anybody more patriotic than my good buddy Jake right here.
I take that as high praise. Thank you.
So, plus, fuck it. If we can use it for our podcast table too, why not?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, fantastic present. Super excited for it. Decided that this is actually going to be called New Glory. We retired Old Glory, so this is New Glory. I'm looking forward to a great coming out with this with a new table. I feel like it sets the stage so much better. It's a great fit for us. It's a perfect birthday present. I really appreciate it, buddy.
You're welcome.
It's a good time.
You're welcome.
I can't wait.
It's one of those gifts that just keeps on giving.
It does. It will just keep on giving.
And I like you know, Jake can even wipe off the podcast stuff, and he can use it for whatever he wants. Right. If he's got a 4th of July party, he can take haul ass outside.
Yeah,
whatever. It fits.
It fits everything.
A lot.
There is nothing that the American flag doesn't go with. So
that's right.
Universally ready for anything.
That's right.
Good times.
All right. Well, you know what's not universally ready for anything.
Tell me.
And burns my ass.
Oh, man.
Woo! And it's not Redbox this time.
Good.
It is Unannounced Neighbors.
So Unannounced Neighbors burn your ass.
Just, okay, first couple times, not a big deal.
Define first couple times and like give me a scene, because there's way different types of uninvited, unannounced neighbors.
So I've got two that bug me the most.
Okay.
The one is the mom that sends the kid over because she don't want to watch her kid right now. And plus, she'd want her kid to play with my kids or whoever's kids they're sending them over to.
So the unplanned play date.
Like, go see if they're home. It's okay the first couple times, but then when you have to start hiding because you hear the kid coming over because he's loud, and you're like, oh my God, go inside quick. I mean, that's just annoying.
Yeah.
I mean, mom, just call the other mom and say, hey, are you guys home? Do you mind if he comes over? That's the thing to do.
Yeah.
Just don't send him to the yard. Now, that's the kid, but it's actually the adult.
Right.
If it was just the kid running over, and the reason I know it's the parent is because as soon as the kid says is able to or not play with my child, they're yelling back, yeah, it's okay, mom! You know.
Not even trying to be incognito. Not just a thumbs up or nothing.
Like I said, so that's still the adult.
Yeah.
Doing all that.
Okay.
Now, the other one is the adult coming over. And the first couple times, okay, they just kind of show up unannounced. And they're like in your fence, or they're on your front porch, or they're in your garage with you.
So you're talking to a neighbor that's like within walking distance.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Like immediate neighbors.
Okay.
The unannounced. And like I said, oh, it's the first couple times is okay. But then it's like I had a neighbor, and I like this guy, but at the same time, it was like, I'm out here grilling.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal if you come out here and grill, but I'm going to end up... The problem with coming over while I'm grilling is, if you do it every time, at some point, I'm going to have to cut the conversation off because I got to go eat.
Right.
And you're going to still be standing there acting like my food should just get burnt because you're not done talking.
Sure.
And that just gets a little bit annoying.
Yeah. Are you concerned in that situation of, like, not to be crazy off the deep end here, but what if your neighbor's got COVID and now he's got little spit flakes flying all over your food? You know, over a hot grill or not.
Well, most of my stories are pre-COVID.
Okay.
But COVID issues would be even worse.
Right.
You've talked about a little bit of that before.
Yeah.
Where the guy keeps coming over and then. Yeah.
Super nice guy. I'm not hating on him at all. He's a really nice guy. He comes over and kind of tells me what's going on.
But when the COVID's going on.
Right. You know, the last couple times, and he's done a good job of kind of staying on his side. You know, without coming the whole way underneath the tree.
No, and that's good. Responsible.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, to where I won't give this guy a hard time. He's neighborly, you know, and like we chat for a few minutes and it's nice and it's not a big deal.
What about this? Just popped in my head. Do you have any like super weird neighbors? I'm sure you have at least one or two that are like, they seem really genuine and nice, but there's just something about them. Like we have this guy that lives a couple roads over.
Yeah.
And he walks the whole neighborhood.
Sure.
And nothing wrong with that.
No.
But it just seems like while he's walking, he's not just like with the music in his own world. He's like wants to see what's going on in everybody's backyard and side yard.
I'm okay with those people, though. Like, those are kind of neighborhood watch people. And, like, I'll be honest.
True.
I've thought about this to where it's like, in some ways, I've often felt like I need to be a better neighbor. But I grew up initially before we moved to Smithville. When I moved to Smithville, we kind of lived on the outskirts of town. When we lived in the first town that I lived in, we had a really, really tight road. Like, everybody knew everybody. Like, we'd have birthday parties, and everybody's kids from all the different 8 houses, you know, that were right around us would all come. And everybody knew what was going on all the time. Well, I don't have that same dynamic here. You know, I know some of my neighbors, but, like, I probably talk to each of them 2 or 3 times a year. I mean, to where it's not much at all. And it's like, man, I've often thought, I wish that we were a little bit tighter as a neighbor group just to keep an eye on things to where I wish I was comfortable enough with my neighbors to be like, hey, we're going out of town for 5 days. We're not going to be back. You know, there's going to be one car coming over, changing out the dogs and whatever, you know, but I don't really feel comfortable doing that, you know, because then if something does happen on that trip.
Yeah, but they know.
I've never trusted you before.
They know when they see the different car pull in and the dogs come out and then the dogs go in and the car leaves. They know what's going on.
I just don't want to be like, man, that's a new TV. It looks really... really similar to the one that's missing from my house now. It's so weird.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To where kind of keep it like that. Let me ask you this, though. Have you ever had a situation to where not even just like an unannounced neighbor, to where it was like an unannounced person in your life that maybe doesn't live right there, that just shows up at your house?
Jehovah's?
No. I'm talking somebody that you know. Like, say it's a friend, but like, you know, like you have like your really core group of friends. Mm-hmm. Let's say this person's like a level 2 friend. To where like you see them at a bunch of things where you kind of know them, but like you wouldn't be the type of person that would be hanging out on a Saturday morning together. You ever had anybody like just kind of pop in like that over the years?
Not. I think I'm enough of an asshole that those people stay away.
On the weekend, they don't want nothing to do with you, huh?
Like, fuck off, dude. No, I mean, I'm sure that stuff may have happened. Well, I mean, maybe kind of a little bit.
Because it's an old thing from kind of the generation we grew up with. I remember people coming over and visiting all the time.
Well, yeah, when I first moved into my house, maybe the first 2 or 3 years, some like coworkers, which I would consider mm-hmm. level 2 friends. Not real good right. friends, but you see them enough that, you know.
Right. It's not weird.
You're on a first name basis.
Right.
Yeah, they would show up and I'd be like, all right, you got to go now.
Right.
I'm done here.
Thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, no, it was great.
Yeah.
No, I don't have any beer. Wink, wink, in my fridge. Right. Get out of here.
Now, if they bring some. Then you have a different friend.
I think I have that wrote down.
Oh, really?
I said, I want to hang out too, but call first. If nothing else, you better bring beer.
I mean, I think that's the neighborly thing to do. If you're planning on hanging out for an hour or so.
At this stage in my life.
Yeah.
You would definitely not be an unannounced or annoying neighbor if you brought beer.
I'll agree with that to a certain extent.
Right. Now, we did do it. It's flashing back now. We did do annoying neighbors once before.
Mm.
Yeah. But this is unannounced.
Yeah, this is a particular lane of
name. Yeah, it's just unannounced.
Yeah.
I find it highly annoying, but at the same time, not right off the bat. It's something that grows on me. The annoyance grows.
Right.
It's not like I'm going to be like, oh my God, what the fuck is this person here? They've never been here before. Yeah. Why are they here?
Exactly.
No, I'm going to be like, oh, hey, it's good to see you. Now, 3 days later, you show up again. I'll be like, hey, still good to see you. Day 6 of this, I'm going to be like,
right.
What are we doing?
Right. No more of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We actually got a neighbor right down the road here, and it's him and his wife. They've got a couple kids that are about the age of our kids, maybe just a little bit older in their young 20s. I think that they're either done or just about done with college, you know, just about ready to go. And I think I told you once before that the house that we bought, like the people that lived here before us were not of a high reputation.
Yeah.
They were slinging all kinds of stuff out of this house.
Yeah.
So.
That's no good.
So where it was kind of weird for the first year. We had some weird unannounced guests then that were looking for them. You know, we're like, no, Pablo. Like, we don't have any of that for you.
Those kind of people left town.
Right. But this neighbor, he would incessantly watch. I think that he was curious as to, like, what was going on. And to where, like, you'll still
see. That car's back. And it's different people now.
Right. Well, you'll see him still to this day. He'll come outside and he'll stand on his front porch. And he'll just kind of stand there for 20, 30. I mean, I notice it while I'm mowing and stuff. The whole time I'm mowing, he's just out there kind of watching the neighborhood and seeing what's going on. And then his wife, they have a little dog, and she walks it like every night the same time that I take my dogs out. So like now I take my dogs out back because they bark and get distracted and stuff. And I always thought, are these people ever just going to stop being strange? Well, then last year we were actually out of town, and the one snowstorm of last year hit. I don't know if you remember, we got 12 inches of snow in like 8 hours. And it lasted for 3 days because, like, 2 days later, it was, like, 45 degrees. So I called Kenzie. I'm like, if you can't get in the driveway, just park on the road. And she's like, no, the driveway is great. I'm like, really? She's like, yeah. She's like, the neighbor man saw me get out of the car and park on the road, and he asked if I had a snowblower, and I told him, you know, that you guys were out of town and that Aunt Danette was staying here, you know, even though Shirley wasn't staying here. And he came over and he did the entire driveway while we were gone.
Cha-ching.
So it was like, all right, man, you're pretty cool. To where, when it comes to neighbors, I try to not judge a book by a cover.
No.
But he hasn't tried to be like my super friend.
Now I have an older neighbor that lives beside me, and he's like older, like 85.
Yeah.
So 20 years ago when I moved in, you know, he's a spry 65-year-old man. Sure. He's getting around good. And he kind of fell under the category of annoying at times. But for the most part, I generally liked the guy.
Yeah.
And the only thing annoying about it was I would be out mowing and he'd come over and talk to me. And then I have to stop mowing.
Yes.
And then it's getting dusk and I've still got a half a yard to do.
I do hate that.
Now, in the old, his wife is, they've got hospice called in. And unfortunately, she's about expired, but she's still hanging on.
Yeah.
But when she was younger, 20 years ago.
Sure.
She would always say, let him finish his work. You know, she would call over.
Oh, yeah.
And then he'd be like, okay. But so annoying like that. But overall, that guy
was awesome.
At 65, he's a tiny little snowblower. Now, we have a tiny little driveway.
Yeah.
But he would come over and hit it. Even if I shoveled it, he'd just go through and make sure he got it one more time.
Sure.
So, and I appreciate that because my driveway is not flat.
No.
He could have easily biffed.
Yeah.
Which I guess I should have told him to get the hell out of there because it would have went on my insurance. Cha-ching! But anyways, no. So, even though you can have good neighbors, bad neighbors, sometimes even the good ones are still annoying at times.
They are. I will tell you one more annoying thing real quick before we go on from this subject is our one neighbors that are like right next door to us. And we get along with them really well, but they have a deck just like we do, right? Nothing huge, just a little deck off the back of the house. And theirs is like looking bad, like it needs a paint job. It actually needs like stripped and refinished and the whole nine yards, you know?
If you let them go too long.
We keep up with ours. I mean, we put a new coat of like the high density paint and shit on every year to where we keep it in good shape. We love to go out there in the evenings, you know, especially after work. We'll just go out there, sit and bullshit for a little bit, you know, especially when it's decent out. Never have they ever, and now almost every night that we go out there, you can hear them all over there cackling and carrying on, and it's like, this was our little oasis. And then it's like one of those reminders, because it's like, I've lived in town for so long, but it's not felt like town because I don't have neighbors up my ass all the time.
Yeah, where you live in the type of neighborhood, now, I know it's not a newer neighborhood, but it's still not an old neighborhood.
No.
But to me, it is like one of those cookie cutter type neighborhoods. In my opinion, maybe not yours, but where you have a lot of similar homes, and then, you know, and there's a highly probable chance that a lot of those homes have a deck or something in the back.
Yeah.
To where I always thought about that. Like, you're on your deck, I'm on my deck. Now, do we have to correspond? Do we have to, how much is involved here?
Yeah.
Is it a wave? Is that it?
Well, we actually have one of those great things that you didn't know at the time. We actually have a tree right off of our deck that literally stops the view line.
Oh, nice.
Perfectly. And like it's in full leaf bloom right now to where like you can see people moving through it a little bit, but like it's definitely
That's
not
nice.
Like straight through.
It's privacy.
Yeah.
And there's something to be said about having privacy.
Right. I mean, it actually works out good because our back line is all trees. So we got some privacy there, except for where the guy comes through. And on the right, it's like these big bushes. So for not having a fence backyard, it works out okay for us, for sure. But still, it's like, it's your deck and you can use it, but damn it. Like,
yeah.
This is our space for forever.
By the way, I had to pull teeth to get Jake to enjoy a Dortmunder tonight for his birthday beer.
Yes.
Jake invited myself and the family out. And end of last weekend, he made me have a birthday beer.
Yep.
So I'm making him have a birthday beer.
Which I'm completely okay with. I'm okay with having one.
Jake is in the healing process. So
I am.
Alcohol impedes the healing process a little bit, but one beer won't. Or it probably will help you, actually.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
We'll see.
My goal is to run a marathon next year, though. So can't have too many beers stacked up between now and then.
No.
That will impede that.
But you have to be able to celebrate your birthday.
Yeah.
I know you're going to celebrate your birthday anyways.
I will.
On your birthday.
Yeah, not too crazy, but I'll tip back a few.
I know you will.
It'll be a good time.
I know you will.
Can
Do you have anything else about, or you want to go right into Dana?
No.
You have something else?
I have a different topic.
Woo!
That I have to.
Let it out.
This is my heart for the night.
The only way through sometimes, or wait, what
Come
is
on.
It?
Come on, you're there. The only way
out
is
through.
Okay. That's right.
That's it.
Sometimes the only way out is through.
I tongue-tied myself.
So, insurance.
Yes.
I'm sure you've had some instances in your life where insurance has just made you the most frustrated human being on the planet.
Yes.
I dealt with one today, and I almost lost my mind.
Please elaborate.
So, we are looking at refinancing the house, possibly, you know, which is a process we've never been gone through before. You know,
from what I understand, it's a pretty good time to do that.
Yeah, it's a really good time to do it. And when we bought the house, I mean, we bought it. I have no problem telling the world this. We bought it on an FHA loan to where we had PMI. We've paid well past the point now to where the PMI can come off. So we want to just get it restructured, get the interest rate lower, get the PMI off of it. You know, we're good to go. You know,
yeah,
save some money on the old mortgage, you know, even if we keep the payment the same, maybe put a couple shekels towards it, you know. So I start looking into things. And so I pulled up my latest statement, you know, and I saw that my mortgage payment for next month is jumping by $75. Now,
good thing you looked.
It wasn't it's not like it's $500 where I'm going to have to try to like reconfigure my life. You know what I mean? But it's still like, why
did you go back and look to see if it's been moving around?
So what I did was I took,
cause you got the, auto payment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you may not even know what's going on.
Right. I save my 1% with my auto payment every month, you know, but I decided like you would do, but just like if something looks wrong on your check, I start breaking it down line by line.
Yeah.
And I see that like my principal and interest, they're about the same. Cause you know, that fluctuates just a little bit month to month, you know, which is typical. You're going to see that every year until it flips. So I'm reading down through and it's my escrow is what goes up by $75.
Fucking escrow.
So I start looking into that and I get on the county auditor site and I look at, cause you know how like they have an appraised value of your house, mm-hmm. then they prorate that. That's what your taxes are, blah, 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 blah. That's part of escrow. So your taxes get pulled out every month into escrow. They pay them once a year. My taxes went up like $100 for the year. For the year. We're talking $75 a month.
Right.
Which when you add all that up, that's $900 a year.
Yeah.
That's a significant amount of money in my life.
That's a lot.
You know?
Sure.
So I'm like, okay, that's nothing. I mean, you divide that out. That's like $8 a month. I'm like, where the fuck is the rest of this coming from? The rest of this comes from insurance going up. And I'm like, okay, I have never filed anything on my homeowners, right? I've been here for more than 5 years, so I'm established as a homeowner. I have it bundled with all of our vehicles and our recreational vehicle, you know what I mean? To where I have this huge bundle that I have no claims against anything ever.
So did you do a little ringy-dingy?
Oh, I did.
Yes.
So I start looking into this, and I finally, 20 minutes through prompts and everything else to get to an actual person.
I fucking hate that. That's going to be our next harp.
Which, that dude, that set me off.
Jesus, I hate that.
From the jump.
Put a real person on the fucking phone.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. Finally, I get to a person. So they start breaking it down for me. There were some changes that, like, because of inflation and stuff like that, that they now have to actually insure my house for a little bit more in the case of a catastrophe because the rebuild would cost more. Okay? So, you know me, numbers is one of the things I'm good at. In a crisis situation where somebody's bleeding out, I will handle the phones, anything like that. That is not me. I can't do things like that, but numbers are something that I excel at. So, I'm like, give me the numbers. What was it before? What is it now? I do a ratio. I figure it out. I'm like, that's a 3% increase in my coverage. 3% increase in my coverage for a 25% increase.
If you missed that, it was a 3%.
3% for a 25% increase in what my insurance is. I'm like, you have to correlate this math for me. This doesn't make any sense. So they start trying to tell me that, oh, well, when this goes up.
No, they tried to fuck you, Jake.
They did. Well, so they tried to tell me that went up. So that was like $21 of it. And then because that goes up, your direct personal loss. So if you add up everything you own in your house and your house burns down, you got to put a value to it. That value is half of what they estimate the rebuild value of your house is. Handy information to note, if you have really valuable shit in your house, make sure it's itemized because you can go above that number, but that's what the standard number is if you just get regular insurance. So maybe I'm being a little informative here too, helping people with their insurance that actually need to dive into it a little bit.
Listen.
So we start getting into that. So that number goes up too. So I have more coverage on my house, more coverage on stuff on the inside, right? So one was $21, one was $22. Like, okay, so that gets us almost there. Then I find out that my good driver discount, for all of us that have nothing on any of our records, is being diminished year over year. That once you get to 10 years, it started off with this fantastic discount. It goes down to zero in 10 years. So instead of the old days of you pay your insurance, you don't do anything stupid, you don't have any claims, or they don't have any reason to raise it, your insurance used to go down steadily. We both turned 40 this year. My youngest daughter is 18. My oldest one is 20. I mean, everybody moved up a tier as far as age and everything else, and they fucking raised the insurance.
See, and you pay a lot more for that good driver discount in the first place. That way they can bring it down as you go.
Right.
And so, now they're just saying,
yeah,
fuck you.
Yeah. But wait, there's more.
Good God.
So I tell the lady, I'm like, look, you got two options. You can either drop my shit back down to the level it was supposed to be at. If you have to increase the coverage, you have to increase the coverage. That's not the fucking policy I took out. So I need that change back. She said, I can't do that. I have to send you over to sales. I said, I don't give a shit. Send me over to sales. If I got to be on hold for 10 minutes, put me on with sales right now. They transfer me over. I get this guy in sales. Oh, I heard you're not happy with where you're at right now. We're going to do a completely new quote for you. We can start the policy from scratch. You'll get your new card, I mean, your safety driver discount all the way from the beginning again. Nothing's diminished on it. Here we go. He types it in. It's $140 more a year. I'm like, you just quoted me more than what they did on the other side for what they re upped it for. He's like, well, if we redo it, then I can't put the longevity in there. And that's actually one of the discounts that come out. I said, so you add enough things to make my price go up, but then you hide little discounts in there like that, is what you're basically telling me. He's like, sir, I'm just reading off the system. Do not quote that kind of shit to me. I fucking hate when somebody says that. If you can't make that decision, then get somebody on the phone that can.
Yes.
So that's what I said. I said, if you can't do this, get me a supervisor or something. Supervisors won't override this either. This is a completely corporate decision. I said, you know what? That's good enough. I said, I've wasted a half hour of my life. You're going to get one or two more payments out of me while I refinance my house. I'm fucking out of here. Fucking hung up on him. Fuck insurance companies. Makes me so fucking mad. The shit's got to go like that.
Especially when you never fucking use it.
Right. And especially in a fucking time where everybody's seeing the rebates coming back on their insurance. You know, oh, here's $32 a month that we're taking off your insurance. So what they're doing is they're like, oh, we're going to give this back to you, you know, because not as many people on the road.
You want to tell the world who's fucking you?
Yeah. The insurance fucking company.
Do you want to name that insurance company?
No, I'm not going to go that far.
All right.
I'm just going to say it's a big one. It's a major one. So they do a lot of fucking commercials on TV.
One of the big three?
Yeah. I mean, they're massive. But it's like, it's all a bunch of bullshit. It's all fucking smoke and mirrors. So,
well, they're making a killing.
Yeah. Well,
off of what? 60% of us that never have to file anything.
Yep.
They're making a killing.
Well, I'm not afraid to change insurance companies.
No,
I've done it before. I've done it again. It ain't that hard, especially in the digital age. I can preload all my shit and have it all done. I'm not worried about it. So I encourage you guys to take a look at what's going on with your insurance, especially anybody that's a homeowner out there, because you will have gotten new assessments from the county in the last 2 months that with everything going on, you might not have noticed that those came through, and you're probably going to see an adjustment from your insurance company that coincides with that whenever your policy's up. So, fuck that shit. All right, next.
Fuck that shit. All right, so a big discussion going on right now, and some areas don't even have the shit figured out yet. Some do. They've got some guidelines to go by, but it's the schooling situation for the 2020-2021 calendar year.
Mm-hmm.
So your daughters are moving, or one's in college, one's moving on to college, right?
Yep.
So how is this affecting them?
It's fucked. So the one that's at home actually found out today that the only class that she was going to be on campus for is now online. So she's basically going to the University of Phoenix Akron division.
So she's University of Bedroom.
Yes. So every one of her classes is online. So our take on it is if you're going to be basically doing online school, there needs to be a change in tuition cost.
Yeah, hell yeah.
There's no electric. There's none of that kind of stuff. All the things that you incur being on campus like that, none of it is going toward the benefit of any of the
students.
Wait,
she's not going to campus, is she?
Well, no, because she doesn't have to now.
Right.
She was going to have to for one class. So,
but, I mean, she wasn't going to be staying on site or anything.
No, she commutes from here. But still, like, now there's nothing at all for her on campus. So she won't go up there for anything unless she's absolutely forced to go to, like, an administrative office or something.
Hell yeah, there should be a decrease in price.
Right? So we're waiting to see what happens with that now. The other one, going to Toledo, right? All but one of her classes is online. So she's going to go live on campus to do most of her homework, most of her schoolwork in a room. And right now, she has one class on campus. So this is our theory on what they're going to end up doing. They're going to let all these kids move in August. And about the middle of fucking September, there's all of a sudden going to be all these outbreaks across all these college campuses, and everybody's fucking going home. That way they're able to get some of the money for the housing and the food plans. Because I feel like that's what they're clinging to right now, to at least get part of that fucking money in.
How many do they shack up in a dorm? Just two?
In a dorm room?
Yeah.
They all change. You can get anything from a single to a five person.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It all depends. Yeah. They got all different layouts. They got suites. They got, like, dual suites that, like, two rooms will share one bathroom. They got community hallway bathrooms.
I always thought those dorms are shiesty, man. Your shit's all missing all the time. The other one's taking shit, or their friends are taking shit.
I don't know. I lived in a dorm for 6 months, and it was cool. Like, I have nothing bad to say about it. But yeah, the schooling situation is getting more and more fucked. What is your kid's school district doing? Because they're still in public schools, right?
Yeah. To where it's... So I've got one in middle school and one in just going into high school now.
Yeah.
So they don't know what they're really fucking doing. They've had these couple different type of plans. First plan was your kid's going to get to go to school a couple days a week and we're going to alternate. Then the other 3 days they're going to be at home.
Okay.
That's fine.
Sure.
Whatever. You figure it out, right?
Yeah. Not too bad.
Then they said, you know what? We're going to let everybody go to school that wants to go to school.
Yep.
And those kids will have to wear masks.
Sure.
No big deal. More than likely, no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's going to be a high percentage of parents. Now, it's going to be more of the high school kids that are older. But it's going to be more of those that are like, the parents are going to be like, no. I'm sorry. I don't want you at school.
Yeah.
You're going to stay home, do your homework. And there's also going to be the kids that don't want to go. And they'd rather be at home school. Whatever. It's a great time to be at home if you want to be at home. My kids, my son, the younger one, who's in middle school, he needs teachers. He's a straight-A student.
Yep.
But he, with the homeschooling stuff, the online stuff, he started to diminish a little bit down to the B range.
Yeah.
Because he needs that one-on-one.
I get it.
So even if he was going twice a week, that would be good.
Yeah.
So I don't care as long as he gets to go a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter did actually really well at home. Now, but now she's going to high school, and I don't want her to miss that either.
Right. No way.
I mean, maybe not as a freshman, but as sophomore, junior, senior, you definitely...
Well, but you got to go through your freshman year there,
I know,
too.
I know, but I'm just saying...
You don't appreciate the other three if you don't go through the first one.
That's true. That's true. So we're kind of in a... We're juggling, but we want our kids to go.
Yeah.
So whatever the ratio is, but then I had this idea.
Okay.
This is just me. Why not take all your kids, high school kids, middle school kids, and cut them in half. Not literally cut the kids in half, but the numbers in half. And send half of them, half that want to go.
Yeah.
1 week, all week. Then the very next week, send the other half. That way you really have a set schedule. You still get to see your teachers. It's every other week. You still get to stay at home. People are... I mean, what's gonna, the biggest problem of all this is, as soon as COVID starts flying around, then you got to, what do you do?
They're going to be locking the schools right now.
Right.
Everybody's going to be going home anyway.
Right. So what's the best way to avoid that?
There isn't. I mean, honestly, if you're going to let them back in, it's going to happen. It's an inevitability right now until they have a vaccine for it.
Okay. It is inevitable to a point. But your best strategy, my thought was this. You send the same group all week long, and then on the weekend, and maybe even every night, but definitely on the weekend, you do a thorough deep clean. Then you got the next group that comes in the next week. It's the same kids. I think that if you have the different groups, like these two groups go in the first 2 days, and then the next 2 days, and then everybody's at home on Friday, I think there's just too much difference going in. If you have the same group in all week and you do a deep clean over the weekend, I just think it's a better strategy.
I actually really like that idea. I think that even to take it maybe a half step further, maybe you do like freshmen and sophomores for a week and then juniors and seniors. That way you can take the teachers, double up in the classrooms to where like the same classroom is being used for freshman this and senior that. And then that way you can actually spread the children out into more classrooms.
Right.
As well, if you have enough teachers for that whole situation.
Right. I just think they should really think about a strategy.
Yeah.
It may not work.
Right.
But at least go in guns a-blazing.
I think one of the biggest things that they're going to have to offer through all of this, though, is some kind of a virtual tutor. I mean, something to where a one-on-one person can get with you on Zoom or something like that. Perfect, for instance, like your kid. Right? Or like in college.
Yeah, we could use a tutor.
In college, you always have professors that have office hours, right? To where he doesn't want to stop what he's doing every day in class to answer a million questions. They will. They'll answer some questions. But on a whole, they've got what they need to get through for that class.
Right.
So they always have office hours so you can go ask questions, get clarity on stuff. I think that they have to offer that in order for this to work. especially long term. Because I got a feeling there's going to be kids that are never going back to school. Kids that have multiple years of school left, that this is going to continue to be a thing. I don't, unless we get a real vaccine real soon, I just don't see this being something that's eradicated in 6 months. Maybe I'm wrong. But it's been 6 months and we're seeing an uptick. So every time that we dial back, we're going to see another uptick.
But I'll tell you why we're seeing such an uptick is because...
It's mutating.
Not just that. I mean, everybody's hiding from it. It's not getting to everybody that fast. And then all of a sudden we're all together and then it's hitting some people. There's an uptick. I hate to say it. So my daughter and I went down and we hit in North Canton. She has a little batting cage we go down to. And we come back and we usually stop at this one gas station we like to visit and get a soda or some snacks for the way home. And I talked to the guy, you know, and I kind of thought about this. I'm like, you know, who has a better pulse on what's going around the city and the news other than the gas station guy? And this is a owner. He owns the place.
Oh, I'm sure he's got his pulse on the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. And I'm like, so what do you think? I said, I hate to sound like an idiot.
Yeah.
But there's a part of me that thinks that let this shit run its course. Let this shit run its course. Not as many people are going to die from it as you think. There's going to be people that get infected, and they're going to have to do their 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then they're done. But let this shit run its course. And he goes, I'll tell you what. He goes, I can't get certain vendors in here. I can't. He goes, we're running out of Busch Light. He goes, Busch Light! Now, Busch Light's a big seller because people like it because it's cheap. And it's okay. I don't think it's okay, but a lot of people do.
Hey, man, it is definitely not the worst when it comes to a light, cheap beer.
Yeah. So he's like, I can't get Budweiser in here to fill up the Bush. He goes, I can't get Coke in here.
Man.
You know the other day when you asked me to pick up some Mountain Dew?
Yeah.
That's why there was no Mountain Dew at the gas station.
That'd be because the guy.
It wasn't that guy's gas station, but that's why. It makes sense. They're not delivering as much.
It's ridiculous.
So that's what the thing is. What he said it was, he goes, we got to get people working again, though.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, I'm sorry. You got to get the jobs filled back up and people back out there.
What's coming?
You have to use common sense. He said that. I said it. You have to use common sense. That's what this podcast is. By the way, you are listening to the number one common podcast in the fucking United States.
Common sense.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
We might be the only one.
We might be.
We're not, but we're definitely the number one. You are listening to the number one common sense podcast.
So what did he think about the schools?
What did he think about the schools?
Yeah.
So what did I tell? I asked him first. I said, so before we got into the business end of it, I said, do you think they're going to shut down the state again? And he goes, after they open the schools, they will. Because it's going to go through the schools,
mm-hmm.
and then they're going to shut down the state.
Yep. I don't disagree with that.
Because as soon as they shut down the schools, they don't want nobody else anywhere.
Right.
And do you remember, they shut down the schools before anybody even got it the first time.
Yep.
They're probably, well, that isn't necessarily true.
Yeah.
There was people that had the COVID before we even knew it was the COVID.
Right.
My son was one of those. Got tested for the flu twice. It came up negative twice, but he still had a high fever and was vomiting.
Yeah.
Sorry, he had the COVID.
Sure. You hear a lot of stories like that at this point. I don't think he's alone.
No.
It's probably more widespread than people actually think.
I didn't have any symptoms. My wife didn't have any symptoms, and neither did my daughter.
Yeah.
So maybe we're just asymptomatic. Yay us, whatever. Right.
Who knows?
Who knows?
It's kind of crazy.
I don't know. But, so that was his take. He thought as soon as the school is open, everybody's going to go through like wildfire.
Yeah.
They're going to shut it all down. And then they'll shut the state down.
So if you had one piece of advice to give people, if you think that
strategize at the schools.
Yeah?
That's my one piece of advice.
My other one would be buy your guns and ammo now.
Yeah.
Stock up because they're going to close that shit down. That will not be considered essential business next time.
It was this time.
It was.
Yeah.
And everybody went out and bought them. 3 million new gun owners.
Really?
Since COVID. Yes, the number of gun owners in this country has climbed to 16%, which is a big number considering how many people already own guns.
I have a theory on why.
I'm sure there's a bunch of different reasons why, but what's
my theory is this: because I don't trust any motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Or very little, very few. The more you're at home, the more you're going to hash out doing something you shouldn't be doing. That's my take on it. I don't know. If you're home and bored all the fucking time, you're going to do things that you wouldn't normally do.
Like what?
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know.
Rob somebody. Do something else.
You think you're going to go rob somebody if you're sitting around at home?
I think if my neighbor's always, my uppity neighbor that's always, he still got his job. You can see him going to work every fucking day. I ain't got shit because I lost my job. I think the guy across the street's the one buying the guns. Because he's worried about those,
I don't think so.
Those low-life neighbors. You don't think so?
No, I don't think so.
That's my untrusting idea.
I think it's a broad scope of Americans that for the first time in their life don't feel genuinely safe.
But why? That's what I'm saying.
No. I just think that they don't feel safe because this is something that you can't just get away from. We have other socioeconomic things.
You can't shoot the virus with a gun.
Nope. No, you can't. But I think it's just a matter of people fearing for their safety along the way. People have been doing crazy things since this thing started. You know, we've seen fist fights at Walmart over toilet paper when this thing first started. You know? I mean...
Which, hashtag, that was stupid.
It was, but I'm just saying, like, crazy
things... No, I don't mean the fight. I mean the toilet paper thing.
Right. But I think that people also have the idea that we could end up in a situation where if everything does shut down, then what? Then resources become scarce. And you need to be able to hunt and gather your resources. At some point in time... A lot of these people probably figured that it's better off to have a gun and not need it than need it and not have it.
True.
So that's my one piece of advice. Stock up on some ammo if you can find it, because that shit's flying off the shelves right now. Record-breaking months.
Really?
Each of the last 3 months, they've broken the record for the most ammunition ever sold in this country. We are at a time where everybody has talked about how there was too many guns in this country for forever. There are way more guns and way more ammunition
in the hands of the people. Well, it's the same amount of guns. It's just...
No.
It's just they're not sitting in the Dunhams anymore.
I mean, a lot of manufacturers are like being run out of stock to where like that's never happened before. To where if they even go back to a normal sale year at some point, we're still way ahead from this year.
So probably driving the price up on some of these guns.
Depending on what it is, yeah. I mean, it's driving your resale value up though too. I mean, the particular types of guns that would be used for home defense obviously are the ones that are climbing a little bit. People also like the little guns that they can put in purses and pockets and stuff like that. And
I've got one of those.
Yep. Yes, you do. I've got one that I'm a big enough guy. Like, it's not real big. I could hide it. I've actually got a particular clip for it to where it clips on my pants so that you can't see that it's in my front pocket and you'd never know it was there. So be smart about what you buy. That's what I got on that.
That's right.
That's right. What else we got coming next, buddy?
All right. Well, why don't you go?
The other one I have is actually just a little shout out.
Let's do it.
So the UFC, you know I'm a huge UFC fan. They've been under some serious heat for the way that they pay their fighters, right? Like even their top tier fighters. Like there's the Conor McGregors of the world that are making millions of dollars per fight. But they are making fractions of the millions of dollars that, like, the huge boxing promotions are paying these guys. I mean, one guy, I think his name's Canelo. I know his name's Canelo. I should say, I think it's him that has the contract. It's like a $360 million contract.
Connor, so you're saying boxers versus
UFC
mixed
fighters.
Martial arts guys aren't getting paid equivalent.
Right, and they're actually showing at an amazing rate that the UFC's events are way more profitable. When it comes to pay-per-view buys, when it comes to the actual gate, like, it's not even close these days.
Well, who's paying those boxers? The pay-per-views?
So they all have promoters that are all, like, there'd be certain promoters that have certain fighters that will work for, like, Showtime Boxing, you know, to where that's who's paying them. Whoever the network is, to where Showtime is, like, one of the big ones that's still left in it, they got a whole bunch of boxers under contract to where they can decide whether they put them on Showtime or whether they put them on Showtime pay-per-view.
Okay.
So it's an interesting thing. So in a time like that, and then the matchmaking, like, is all over the place, you know, to where people get upset because there's two guys that really seem like they should be fighting each other, but because of the money, they can't get it lined up. So Uncle Dane has been taking some heat over some of the matchups and some of the lack of matchups, you know? You know how, like, forever people wanted to see Pacquiao and Mayweather? Mm-hmm. And it took, like, 6 years for it to happen? That's happening with some UFC fights. So he started to pony up a little bit of loot for stuff, but then he did something yesterday that I thought was like, you know what? This guy's still a really good person at the end of it. You've heard me talk about Khabib on the show. the eagle, right? He's from Dagestan. Yeah, he's a Russian, but I love this guy.
His dad just passed away, right?
His dad did just pass away.
But he had the COVID, I think, matter of fact.
It was complications from heart disease, what his dad actually passed away from. I don't know that he actually had COVID.
I think I heard he did.
Okay. I don't know.
I'm sure they classified it as COVID. They do everything.
I mean, right? But he came out and said, look, one of me and my dad's dreams was to retire 30-0. And right now he's 28-0. So that leaves two fights left, right? So he's got a fight that's scheduled for September.
How old is he?
He's 30, 29, to where he's got some great years left in the tank.
But that's what I mean. He's going to stop at 30?
If you've got millions of dollars in the bank and you don't want to get your brain turned to mush.
Yeah, you know, okay. I agree with that.
He's a deeply religious man. He's a man of high principles. I mean, you listen to him talk. You talk about a guy, like poster child for somebody that company loves. He's an absolute savage. It's a great pay-per-view draw and has never, ever been in any kind of minuscule of trouble. I mean, he doesn't drink. He doesn't do anything. I mean, this guy is cookie cutter. I'm here to kill people in a cage, you know? So I thought it was really cool that Dana said, look, if you win this fight in September and your last fight is really going to be your 30th fight, you can pick your fighter. Anybody you want, I don't care who it is. You've been a fantastic company man the whole way through. We appreciate you so much. You're a living legend and a Hall of Famer. I'm going to let you choose your last fight. Dude, nobody in the UFC, other than maybe Conor McGregor a couple years ago, gets to pick who they fight. I mean, that's absolutely insane that you just get to pick that. So, to me, that's big props to Dana White, to where there's fights out there that they could match him up with that would be absolutely insane money. But if he wants to fight some friend of his that he always wanted to have in the UFC just to have him in there one time, then...
Oh, I never thought about that.
Right, to
he
where...
He could pick some homie just to...
Yes.
Just to get him some money.
And he don't care. Whoever it is, he said, whatever you want to do, I stand behind you. The promotion will move on. No problem. Nobody's going to have a fit or throw a fit about it or nothing. And I thought it was cool. Some of the fighters actually came out and were like, we need more of this. Thank you. Like, please be more in tune with what people actually want, you know? Now, don't get me wrong. You got to sell a product, you know? It's like the NFL. You can't put Detroit on national television every week and expect those Detroit ratings to be through the roof.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, you got to be smart about it. But
I mean, you can't be lying around.
Right. But for the one sport that's going to keep going, and I believe that they're set up different than the rest of the sports, they're going to keep going, and they're going to keep going strong. Because of the way that they have these events set up to where there's not too many people there, everybody's checked twice or two or three times before they get there. I mean, they're really going above and beyond to keep everything out to where it'll be the one sport that's still standing, that and golf at the end of it right now.
Right.
So that's what I got on the UFC. Just a little shout-out to Uncle Dana.
All right. So before I get into baseball, that's right, folks. We got baseball coming at you here.
Baseball.
Cleveland Indians baseball.
Yeah.
Before that, it's kind of around baseball. So this was something interesting. And I haven't got a response. That's why I'm talking about it.
Okay.
So the batting cage that my daughter and I go down, I'm not going to name the name, but... It's a really nice little place. It's got three little lanes. You can rent a lane. They're very affordable. And they've got a little workout gym. And every time we've been there, it's been great.
Yeah.
You can get a very reasonable monthly subscription. And you can go, I think with all the time calculated, it's like 3 hours every day for 30 days if you get a month subscription. You can't even use that much.
No, that's
you,
a great
time. You would never use that much.
Sure.
And I kind of learned the hard way. This last week was our last week.
Yeah.
Actually, today is our last official day.
Yeah.
The 28th. And it said I used like 12 hours out of 60.
Wow.
So you get 60 one-hour visits and 60 60-minute visits and 60 30-minute visits. That equals 3 hours per day.
Mm-hmm.
So what I didn't figure is when you go onto the website, you do everything virtual.
Yeah.
You select a time. If it's grayed out, it means somebody else has got it.
Sure.
So what I realized late was I need to select my time and then select the hour later as well. So I block off 2 hours. We can be a few minutes late
mm-hmm.
and still work an hour or maybe an hour 20.
Yeah.
And then we still got 40 minutes or 30 minutes that we can leave and we're good.
Right.
I like to go down and work. She likes to work for about an hour. So either way, it works out good. But just so you're not rushed and all this other stuff. Because if you have an hour, you're like, oh, shit, we got to get in there. Because an hour goes by fast.
Yeah.
Anyways, we're almost done with our month. And it's been a great place. Not knocking the place at all.
Mm-hmm.
And we go in, and right away we can see there's father and son in the far lane. So there's three lanes. So we like the first lane anyways because our pitching machine's up against the wall.
Yeah.
They always move them up against the far right wall. So we go in, and then we both look down. And she's looking at me, and I'm looking at her. We look down. She's looking at me, looking at her. It's dog shit. Three dog turds right up against the wall where the net doesn't quite go against, like, because it's the grass.
Yeah.
That turf grass.
Really?
And she's like, what do we do? And I'm like, well, it's kind of up against the wall. It's not going to chase us around.
Right.
Let's just go in here. It doesn't smell. Let's just go. So we go in there and we do our thing.
Yeah.
And as soon as and I'm thinking this whole time, we're doing our normal routine, but I'm thinking about that fucking shit in the corner. And I've got two scenarios. The owner was in.
Mm-hmm.
There's two owners.
Yeah.
Brought his dog with him. His dog was running around.
Yeah.
And his dog had a shit and he found some grassy area.
Right. He didn't see him.
Where the no net was.
Right.
The dog dropped a few turds and then they left. He didn't see it. Or some other dipshit brought his dog with his kid.
First thing that came to my mind.
Let his dog run around, which is very dangerous because if a dog ran out there in the nets, I mean, you could be standing right beside a net and get hit in the head by a ball.
Right.
Hopefully that wasn't the case. But so I kind of leaned towards the owner.
Yeah.
So I told my daughter, there's cameras all over this place because everything is virtual. They have all the signups on virtual.
Yeah.
So if something happens, they want to be able to go back and look at the tape.
Sure.
I get that. So the other father and son leave, and so now we can talk freely. I said, you know what we're going to do? I said, we're going to take a break here in a minute. There's bathroom with the huge paper towels. I'm going to get some paper towels. I'm going to clean that shit up. Literally clean that shit up. So I take, and there's a bathroom right there. So I take the shit and I drop it in the toilet, flush the toilet, throw the paper away, wash my hands real good. It's done.
Yeah.
And I told my daughter, I said, we're going to do that. So somebody else has to come in here and look at that.
Right.
And be like, what the fuck?
Right.
Then I'm going to send a message on the Contact Us page.
Yeah.
Very calm message saying, hey.
FYI, bro.
We came in at 2 p.m. on Saturday, the whatever date it was.
Yeah.
Saw what looks like dog feces. I cleaned it up so no one else had to see it.
Yeah.
Then I had to put, but then I have to actually express my feelings because it is the truth.
Yeah.
Then I wrote, kind of gross that I had to, you know, I had to do that.
Right.
But you also might want to have somebody come in and spot clean this because you can still kind of see where it was.
Right.
Then I was hoping that maybe I'd get a little bit of a, oh my God, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. And by the way, here's an hour.
Right.
Go use your hour. Appreciate it. Haven't heard nothing back.
Nothing.
And I even said at the end, I have a photo if you want to see what I saw.
Right.
Because I had to take a photo.
Well, sure.
So I took a,
you gotta have evidence.
Picture of the dog shit.
Right.
But they could go back on the tapes and easily watch what I did.
Yeah.
And then watch what happened.
Yeah.
Owner's dog, probably. So, not that I feel like I'm betrayed, but I just was like, why wouldn't you just respond and be like, hey, I appreciate it, thank you. Even if you're not going to give me an hour free, whatever, I don't care.
Yeah.
At least just say, hey, I appreciate that.
You got to find that guy and go full stepbrothers on him. Fucking make him lick white dog shit.
Yeah.
How's that feel?
Yeah.
Enjoy that?
Yeah.
What an asshole.
So.
I'm really disappointed in that. That's the worst customer. I mean, that goes into our customer service conversations that we have another
time. I cleaned up dog shit at his fucking facility.
Right. Like, you saved him the potential of losing another client or right. two or three or five, however many came in there and didn't have the gall that you do and fucking decided to clean it up.
Well, and I can tell you what, that dad and son, they were in there before and they always used that first lane because that's where the pitching machines were.
Yeah.
Guess what they did? They took it down to the third one because they didn't want to be close to the dog shit. I can tell you that's exactly what happened.
That's probably true.
Oh, 100%.
It's fucked up.
So anyways, moving on.
Moving on.
Moving on to baseball. So I'm going to talk a little bit of Cleveland Indians baseball. So, for the 60% of it, you can tune out or you can listen. And I actually encourage you to listen because you should know what your local team's doing or your favorite team, whoever it is. You should know a little bit about what they're doing and what they've done. So I'm going to get into this. This is going to be kind of quick. I'm calling this leading off.
Okay.
We have Cleveland Indians have a new leadoff guy. Until I watched the first game, I my ear wasn't to the ground. I didn't even realize we had a new guy.
Is he a young kid?
No, not real young, but he's young, I guess.
Okay.
Cesar Hernandez, second base, took.
I think he's the young kid.
Okay, he's probably young,
like 24 or something like that.
Oh,
like
I hope so.
He's a beast coming through the farm system, I believe.
Well, I think they traded for him.
That might be true, but I'm saying I don't know exactly what they traded for him, but I think this guy's a young beast.
That's why they let Kipnis go. Kipnis is gone. Thank you, Double Deuce, for all your for everything you did. But
this guy don't wear the Double Deuce, does he?
No. You know who he is?
Who?
He's got Lofton's number.
Seven.
Seven.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
And I'll tell you what.
Mickey Mantle, John Elway, lots of sevens.
What this guy did by being the prototypical leadoff guy, and he's got a few hits already to start, so he's not going to be one of these slumpers.
Yeah.
Thank God. Okay. Terry Francona is a genius.
He's the Indians manager, by the way.
Yeah, Indians manager, and he's a genius as it comes. He is a great manager, and you can't second-guess him much. But he had Frankie Lindor leading off the last couple years. I'm sorry.
No way.
Frankie Lindor is not a prototypical leadoff guy. And I get it. You really didn't have one. But you could have found somebody better than Frankie Lindor. He's your three or four hitter.
Three.
No, he is your three hitter, but if you have to
like
put him in.
He's prototypical three hitter.
He is. And now we have one through four. We've got Cesar Hernandez. We've got Jose Ramirez, a.k.a. Joe Deli. Then we've got Frankie Lindor, and then we've got our cleanup guy, Carlos Santana. We finally have the first four in place, and it's
working. But
then
you got Familia right behind him. You got some insurance even behind Santana now.
But what I'm saying is our first four, it's so important.
Yeah.
And it's finally solid.
Yes.
Ugh. And then after that, they can do whatever they want. But like you said,
they've got some other guys at the back end of that order.
Reyes, Mercado, Zimmer hit his first home. Frankie hit his first home run today.
Did he?
Yes, sir.
Boy,
you got him. You got him in franchise.
In fantasy?
Yeah. We have basically the best catcher in baseball right now. He literally is one of the top two. Perez.
Really?
Oh, my God. Defensively?
Oh, defensively.
No, dude, he hit 24 home runs last year.
Did he really?
He did. He blew up.
I just remember him from the years of the playoff runs where it's like that dude would hit 212 all year, and then he's just like popping home runs over the wall and hitting like 420. He's like the Mark Lemke of his generation.
Well, last year he got his first full season because he was behind the great Yan Gomes.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't fucking – what are you going to say? Yan Gomes. The guy was great.
Oh, fantastic.
But now he's getting to play. It's his job.
Sure.
And defensively, he's a fucking beast.
Mm-hmm.
And offensively, he's finally came around. So it's really, really good.
So they're going to score some runs this year, we hope.
They've got some, don't want to say scabs, but I kind of did. But they've got some platooners out in the outfield, right and left, that they're doing the righty versus righty, lefty versus lefty.
But a lot of good teams that have played that way.
And but they've got a shit ton. And, I think that's also some insurance. If guys go down, you've got guys.
Sure.
So it's really, really good. And plus, I think, so let me see what I wrote about Cesar. This guy has changed our team for the better and finally gave us what we needed at the top of the lineup. Frankie is not a leadoff hitter. I already went over that. Our top four are exactly where they should be now. So moving on, the comeback of the decade. I'm going to call it the decade. Carlos Carrasco.
I saw it.
This guy diagnosed with leukemia last year.
Former All-Star.
Yeah. He was not feeling well in the beginning of last season. He was gone for like 2 months. Comes back and they say he's got leukemia.
Yep.
But he wants to continue to do what he loves. Amen for that. He won his first start yesterday since the leukemia diagnosis.
Yep.
Went six innings, pitched 10 strikeouts with one walk.
Nailed it, man.
How amazing is his story?
Oh, that's the kind of guy that a team will rally around for the year. If he can do it, we can do it.
We had a coworker/friend go down with leukemia. He fought the balls off of it.
He did.
And then, unfortunately, he was so sick from the...
From the medication.
From the medication.
Yep.
That it ended up... He couldn't... He just couldn't survive.
Right.
Unfortunately. But that's why when I watch this, I'm like so skeptical to be too positive. But how can you not be positive with him performing on the field?
Everybody's behind this guy. I mean, it was a story on ESPN as soon as the game was over the other day, and they got the win. It's massive. You know, it says a lot about the guy's character, you know.
But
great team guy.
Not only is it great story for him, but he solidifies. That's what I was trying to say. He solidifies our top three of our rotation.
Yeah.
Which we just got rid of Corey Kluber. And did you hear what happened to him?
Did he get hurt?
He didn't even go one inning.
And he's out?
Tightness or something. So, I mean.
Something minor, but.
I hope for your sake, Corey, that you're okay. But I think the Indians, crystal ball was pretty clear on this one.
Yeah. Well, he was getting a little up there in age. They didn't want to pay him the money.
Shane Bieber.
Biebs. The Biebs.
He's legit town.
He's incredible.
We got the Dirty Hippie.
Yeah.
The
Clevenger,
he's a badass, and I he's only my favorite because his last name is practically Cleveland.
Before he started growing this beard thing out, man, he looked like Sunshine.
Now he looks like,
I remember the Titans.
Dirty Sunshine. I can't talk all of a sudden.
Dirty Sunshine. Yeah.
And then with Carlos, and then we've got Savali and who's the young kid?
I don't even know who the fifth starter is.
No, we've got like six. Pletko went today. Adam Pletko went the second game.
But did he pitch?
But then we've got the...
He started?
Game two.
I thought he was a reliever.
Well, he went game two because we needed another guy.
Oh, they moved him
because,
out of the pen, huh?
Because tomorrow is going to be the young kid Plesac. So, know your team. Go find out about them.
Yeah.
You should be just as excited unless your team's doing shitty.
Yeah.
My team is looking great.
Yeah.
They came out of the you can't have a slow start with 60 games.
No, you got Minnesota coming up though, right?
I hope.
I think this weekend is Minnesota.
I hope because our team's playing good. Bring them on.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else on the tribe?
No, I'm excited for them. I think that they're one of the teams that's really built for this. I think that they've got enough veterans along with enough younger guys that are straight up in the middle of their prime of their career, that if you're going to make a 60-game sprint toward home plate, I think they're one of those teams that could win 35, 40 games real easy, put themselves in the playoffs with everybody fresh and healthy, and can make a real run at it. I think they're the type of team that if you give them a short season, they can play with absolutely anybody in the playoff series.
Yeah. And more so since they fixed their fucking lineup.
Yeah.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
All right, so lastly.
But don't get too excited
because the Marlins now, I believe the number is up to 17.
That's the number infected. I saw prior to the show.
Infected.
With COVID-19.
So what we've got now.
The Washington Nationals made the decision actually earlier today too, just to coincide with this real quick, that they will not be making the trip to Florida under any circumstances for this weekend series. So this entire three games is gone.
Right. So, but that's a side note, because we also had the Yankees postpone their game today. I can't remember who they're playing, but because of this.
Yes.
Now, the Indians obviously are playing a doubleheader. They said, fuck it, we're changing our name and whatever. So this is kind of scary to me now that I've got a good team out there again.
Yeah.
The commissioner doesn't seem to be fazed, though. Manfred came out and he said, you know what?
It's containable.
We've thought about this. We've kind of prepared for this. I don't think they prepared this much for it. Mm-hmm. But Jake and I had the comment the other day that why not bring up the minor leaguers? I mean, maybe you can't get any minor leaguers to come up into that system because it's COVID infected, but I think you would.
Oh, I'm sure you can.
Get them up there.
They got practice guys around that are waiting for their chance.
Get them up there, fill the roles, continue playing. That's my thought.
I agree completely.
My worry is, though... if they have another baseball stoppage.
That's it.
If they decide, well, they can't go. I mean, they can't have a 40-game season.
No.
If they decide to stop it, obviously baseball will be done.
For the year.
So they're going to hold on as long as they can.
Yeah.
But if they do stop it, what will this mean for football?
I think that what's going to happen inevitably with football, and it's going to freak people out, and I don't know how it's all going to work out, but I think they're going to end up adopting some kind of a bubble system.
They've already talked about the bubble, but it won't work.
But it's working in the NBA.
Are they playing games?
Everybody's playing like their preseason games right now, and they actually start, I believe, on Friday. the real games start back up, and nobody is getting it. Everybody that's coming in, like as guys are returning from other countries and stuff like that.
But do you understand how
quarantined.
The bubble system is supposed to work?
You're not allowed out of the bubble.
You can never leave your team. You can't go home to see your wife.
Correct.
Or your kids.
Yeah.
This will never work.
Yeah. Think about it. There are so many jobs
in the
world.
Do you think LeBron James is actually following these rules and not going to see his wife?
Yes. LeBron James is here. LeBron James is in Orlando to try to win another championship. There's only so many years left that he's going to have a team built like this.
So what are they fucking doing? I have not been even paying a fucking attention to the NBA. It's
so they're playing 8 more regular season games to start off with. Because there are enough teams that are close in the Western Conference to making the playoffs that they said, look, there's 20.
So they're keeping the former statistics, like games and stats and wins and losses.
Yes, everything is in place exactly as it is.
How many did they get in?
What do you mean?
Like, were they at like the 60-game mark? Were they at the?
I want to say they were like 55, like 50 to 55, somewhere around in there.
Out of 82.
Yeah, so a pretty decent, far enough through to where you can say, okay, these teams are going to make the playoffs.
Why wouldn't they just say start the playoffs?
Because there's
some close, is what you're saying.
And one of the big reasons is, do you know who Zion Williamson is?
I've heard the name.
He is a rookie for the Pelicans, and he is one of the new All the Rage kids. I mean, throws down big dunks, plays well both ends of the court. I mean, he is easily the best player on that team, and I think that they are 2 games out. Coming into this, they're the 9 seed currently in the West, to where they're like, we really wouldn't mind if we got Zion in here for the opening round of the playoffs against LeBron if they can get themselves into the 8th seed.
Money, 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 money.
Money. Well, that's all they're going to have is TV money because obviously nobody's allowed in there to watch any of it. So that's what they're doing. They're playing 8 regular season games. As soon as those 8 regular season games are done, they put the brackets together and we're off and going for the playoffs. Oh, all in Disney.
Right, but here's the thing. The season was supposed to be over.
June every year.
June.
It's always June.
So what are we doing? They're going to finish this up and then start in February?
No. It's not going to go like that. They're going to finish it up. They're going to end up probably having like a 4-week delay.
This is going to go to September because of the way they have their playoff structure.
Well, they don't ever start till what? End of October, beginning of November is when their season actually starts. So what they'll do is they'll finish up. I believe that it's supposed to finish up last week of September, first week of October, somewhere around there. To where they'll probably take 6 weeks off, and then they're going to end up having a revamped schedule for next year that's going to have a lot more regionalized games. To where there's going to be more back-to-backs, but they're even talking about, they haven't released a schedule yet, to where you might have a back-to-back between Detroit and Cleveland, where it's almost like baseball now, to where Detroit comes to Cleveland for 3 games, to where kind of do it like that. And they're actually, I read a really good article talking about how that might end up becoming the model for the future, you know, to where you face a team 3 times, you know, in the course of your season, you play them for a weekend series and that's it, you know, and then they're done and gone for the year. So I think that a schedule like that could definitely work.
I mean, that's the way baseball does it.
Right. So I think that if you look at things like the military, people that work on oil rigs, stuff like that, that are gone for months and months and months and months at a time with work, if you're giving me $6 million to play left guard in the NFL, I'll see you in a few months, babe.
Yeah, but because they're in that bubble system, I'd hate to be that basketball player with the big ass. Those guys be looking at you like, mm-hmm.
What do you mean? All your boys?
All your boys.
You trying to turn the teams? Trying to get them to change teams?
No, but I'm just like, there's a lot of testosterone in there.
Hey, should make for some good playoffs. Maybe we'll roll it back to the 80s. Fist flying, guys squaring up in midcourt.
Oh, it would be too.
Hey.
No, well, they're not going to. They won't. You know what I heard? Major League Baseball? You're not allowed to argue with the umpires.
Oh, no, you can't. Did you see the manager get thrown out?
What, do they got to put plexiglass up?
No, it was so great. So manager arguing from the dugout, umpire turns, throws him out. It was Madden. Who's Madden? Is Madden still coaching the Cubs? No, he's not with the Cubs now. Who's he with now?
I can't believe they fired him.
I know. But it was Madden. So Madden gets tossed.
Phillies, maybe.
I think it actually might be the Phillies. So he comes out of the dugout. He takes 2 steps out of the dugout, reaches in his pocket, pulls out the mask. The umpire walks towards him while he's walking, reaches in his top pocket, pulls out a mask. They get within like 6-8 feet of each other, and they're... And then Madden...
Social distancing arguing.
Yeah, so that was the big joke. Like, social distancing ejection.
You can't be like...
Right, that's how the article was actually termed. Social distancing ejection. Like, it was actually hilarious. And then Madden was finally just like... and walked away. So
you can't even hear him. He's like,
right. Have you watched any of these yet? Because like I'm kind of torn on the whole baseball thing right now for whatever reason. But have you watched any of it?
I watched the first two Indians games, and I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I watched a couple exhibitions or preseasons.
Yeah.
And the preseasons, they didn't have the crowd volume up.
They've done a good job with it.
Amazing job. So watching the Indians,
yeah,
you can actually like have a conversation with somebody in the room, and you think you're watching a real game.
Yes.
And when you're watching it, obviously you see some of the empty seats, but they try to bring the angle down to where you can't see the seats.
Right. The biggest time you see him is if somebody hits a long fly ball to left.
And then you see all these tarps with the Sherwin Williams and whatever.
Right.
But no, they have that ambient sound.
Yeah.
And I think it's pretty good.
But there's one part of it that I'm especially enjoying for the little bit that I've watched is I really enjoy the umpires. Because when you watch a game on TV, even just a regular crowd, 60,000 people, 40,000 people just talking is loud enough that you can't hear directly what goes on the field. Man, I was watching a game the other night. The umpire, getting into it to where it's like, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
I love like being able to hear this.
Now,
you know?
The one thing that I predicted,
yeah,
which I haven't watched enough, I've watched two games. The one thing I predicted was you're going to hear a lot of more F-bombs and whatnot because of the players.
Yeah.
And you can hear, and it's funny because we have a lot of Mexicans or Spanish-speaking gents on our team.
I'm going to say they're from all different places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can hear them in the dugouts a lot more frequently, like, you know, speaking the Spanish.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's something I never heard before.
Right.
But, so who knows? They could be cussing.
Yeah.
I'm sure they do like to throw out some swears
in
the Spanish just because the standard English doesn't know those.
Yep. Well, we're getting close. Basketball is about to come back. I think hockey is the following week. NFL is getting ready to report to training camp here in 2 weeks.
But I'm just telling you,
so we're getting close.
If they stop baseball, it's going to fuck up some shit.
No. The NFL is not going to miss a season. It's just not happening.
But what if a team, they've got 11 on the field.
Yeah.
What if a team loses? Well, but they have a lot more on the sideline,
I think,
right?
62 on Sundays, right? 62 on Sundays, 62 active players.
Okay. What if a team gets hit with like 30 down though?
They've got practice players coming out their ears, and that's what would end up having to happen.
The only good thing that they have is they're watching everything happening right now.
They're the most covered of all the athletes.
But what I'm saying is they have because their timeline is still a little ways off.
Yeah.
They have a chance to be like, okay, well, we're not doing that.
Yeah. I'm glad this didn't hit in the middle, like in November.
Now, do you think so? What's going to happen is if the NBA finishes their season and they do their playoffs and they barely have any breakouts, then you're going to be right. All teams will move to the bubble system.
Yep.
Everywhere.
Even if it's like temporary bubble systems to where like you spend 2 weeks in the bubble, you spend 2 weeks out in the bubble, just like you just said, to where they do shit like that.
No. You have to be in the bubble your full season.
I'm just saying.
It's going to be a long time. Like you said, what's 6 months when you're making $17 million?
I don't disagree. So we'll see how it all works
out. Tough luck, Charlie.
I can't wait to see it.
All right.
That's what I got.
Well, this has been a little bit longer of a show. We're up to 112, 113.
Hey, we enjoyed it tonight. It was
beautiful.
A good show. Had to get some stuff out.
I mean, you can't rush gold.
No. Making gold. We got down to some brass tacks tonight. It was all worth it.
Wait, did we?
Let's get down to brass tacks, gentlemen.
We already did, Harvey.
Thank you, Harvey.
We already did.
You know what we haven't done yet, though, is make sure that everybody knows if you or somebody you love is struggling with any kind of mental health or substance abuse problems, please call 1-888-622-HELP. Somebody is there to help you. Please reach out. Huge focus always, now more than ever, on mental health. Please make the call.
Absolutely. If you're feeling like you have bad thoughts about hurting somebody else, yourself, or you're just tired of the substance abuse, give them a call.
Take care of it. Talk to you guys again real soon. Thank you so much for joining us.
Pip, pip.
Cheerio.
Hope you guys enjoyed the nice table.